Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
We've been in a short series. Tonight we'll conclude it. Just two messages. This will be the third. On lessons learned when God leads on a difficult path. It'd be nice after we got saved if God would just remove all our problems and all our issues and life would just be smooth sailing from there, but we know that's just not the case. And so we've been looking from scriptural examples what God does in those situations and what He's trying to teach us. And so we've seen a number of things. I'm not going to review those, but as you find your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to run across a very familiar passage. And so let's go ahead, read that, ask God to bless the message, and then we'll move along from there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, here God says through the Apostle Paul, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Boy, none of those sound pleasant, do they? He goes on to finish this verse, verse number 10. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Father, we thank You for Your word and the lessons we can learn from it. Father, as we look at just a few simple thoughts this evening, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would bless us and guide us into all truth, that Your name might be uplifted and glorified. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. As we've been looking at the different examples from the Word of God of saints who God led along a difficult path for His purposes, the one thing they all had in common was that it ended well, that things turned out for the better. We looked at Daniel in the lion's den, and of course we know that God sent His angel and the lions didn't have any appetite that night. They stayed away from Daniel. We saw Moses at the Red Sea, and as daunting of an obstacle as that is, God opened the sea and they walked through on dusty ground. And so each one of the incidents, and of course there were the others, but they all had that in common, that in the end, everything worked out just fine. Wouldn't that be nice if life worked that way all the time? But it doesn't. And so tonight, as we conclude this series, I want to look at four examples when things just didn't work out for the better, at least on the surface. And when these individuals saw their circumstances and at the beginning of it thought, well, if it's just can take place, everything will be just fine. And it doesn't. And they still, as the Apostle Paul here, realizes this worked out just fine. You see, Paul had something he wanted to do, and that was to serve Christ. He wanted the power of God on him for his preaching. We know that Paul was not an eloquent preacher. Remember when he preached long into the night, and that poor fellow fell asleep in the window and fell down dead. Now I've put people to sleep before, but it doesn't happen before, it doesn't happen often. And I always tease my mom. She says she's tired on Sunday afternoon and can just fall asleep. I tell her, well, wait till I start preaching. That's my job. Don't fall asleep early. But, I've never had anyone fall out of their chair before or out of their pew. Paul did. So he wasn't, in my opinion, and from the hints we have from the Word of God, he wasn't the most exciting preacher to listen to. Now, I think he was one of those fellows who was perhaps soft-spoken, maybe, but he had so much depth that he could hold your attention. But he wasn't eloquent. He admits that, and he knew that. And so Paul realized if he was going to accomplish anything for God, what he needed was the power of God in his life. And so that was Paul's heart desire. He just didn't understand what it would take to get it. And so here we have Paul and his thorn in the flesh. Now Paul, when he first had that thorn in the flesh, wanted it removed. He talks about that here. Three times he went before the throne of grace and saying, God, remove this, please. I beg you, remove it. Now, we don't have the exact words. I'm just making his prayer up. But nevertheless, it tells us that he asked three times, God, please take this away. And what did God tell him? You see, Paul's traveling down a difficult path. Life wasn't easy with that thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. The most common opinion of that was poor eyesight. Now, when you put that into Paul's life and ministry, remember it was an itinerant ministry. And he didn't book a train or a plane or even a bus. He didn't catch a cab. He didn't take a car. He didn't depend on friends to give him a ride. The Apostle Paul had to walk everywhere he went. One of the worst things about going to summer camp is the bathrooms are never in the dormitories. And they're usually a long ways away. And if you have to use the restroom after dark and you don't have a flashlight, it's treacherous because there's tree roots and there's dips in the ground and there's rises in the ground and you kind of stumble along your way and you hope you can get out of it without a bloody nose or a black eye from falling. I imagine that's what Paul went through on a daily basis if, in fact, the thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. And he's probably thinking how much more effective he could be if he could just see and how much further he could travel in a day's time than the limitations he had because of the poor eyesight. And so Paul is looking at his life and his ministry, even though his heart's desire is he wants to have the power of God residing upon him. He's thinking, this thorn in the flesh is such a hindrance to me, I just can't do that much for God. Wouldn't you like to do half of what he did and still have that thought? You know, I wish I could do more. But Paul thinks he can do so much more if God would just remove this. And God said no. God said, Paul, I know you're going down a difficult path. It isn't that I'm unaware. It isn't that I don't care. It isn't that I'm just being mean about things. But he tells Paul, I am answering the prayer of your heart. I am giving you the desire of your heart for the power of God to rest upon you. And it's only going to come when you're weak, as it says at the end of verse number 10. When I am weak, then am I strong. It took Paul a little while to learn that lesson, but when he figured it out, it says that he then glorified in those things in the first half of verse number 10, that if we would take any one of those individually, and we know Paul experienced each and every one of those, but if we would even take one of those in our lives, we would understand that that is a very difficult path to travel. But you see, Paul and his thorn in the flesh taught him about the power of God, and he saw the power of God exalted in his life through the difficult path God asked him to travel down. I hope you would have the same desire in your heart that the Apostle Paul has. Wouldn't you like to pray and have God listen and answer to see the miraculous prayers that we talked about in Sunday school this morning of the church that God blesses, those marvelous answers to prayer? Well, that comes from the power of God. Now, what will it take to get the power of God in your life? Maybe it's a difficult path. Maybe it's the infirmity. Maybe it's the reproaches. Maybe it's the necessities. Maybe it's the persecutions. Maybe it's the distresses. All for Christ's sake. None of this happens because Paul was a bad person, or Paul had gotten angry, and Paul had lost his temper, and Paul had said some things that maybe he shouldn't have said, or his behavior was less than above reproach. None of those reasons are why he suffered what he did. He suffered it all because he was living for God and preaching the gospel. It was a good testimony everywhere. And people didn't like that because light hates darkness, as John chapter 3 after verse number 16 tells us. The men shall be lovers of darkness. And the light reproves their darkness. And so they attack the light rather than embracing it, because of the conviction in their heart. And Paul understood that that's why he went through, through the things that he did and why he was walking down these difficult paths. But he understood that in those times, In those times is when he had the power of God in his life. And he elaborates more on it in the rest of the chapter. But you know, sometimes God will have to lead us down one of these things listed in verse number 10, that difficult path in order that we might have the power of God in prayer. But I think we also all would like to have the power of God in witnessing, wouldn't you? Like to be able to share the gospel and see souls saved. You see, not everyone does that. Most of us water or plant the seed or water the seed. And God selects a few to go ahead and be reapers. Wouldn't you like to be a reaper? That's only going to come with the power of God in your life. Now, how's the power of God going to come in your life? It's going to come through infirmities. It's going to come through reproaches. It's going to come through necessities. It's going to come through persecutions. It's going to come through distresses for Christ's sake. It's not going to come from walking an easy life. It's not going to come through wealth. It's not going to come through good health. The power of God will not be evident, because when we have everything that our heart physically could desire, we have no need of God and we don't know how to pray. The worst preacher is the preacher who's trusting in his own abilities. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I think you guys know me well enough to know that. And so I have to plead with God to help me out. And he helps me in ways that you'll never understand, because you're not here, and I don't share most of them because it's embarrassing to me to know where I am and my limitations. And so you don't see God pouring out his blessings, and I'm so grateful for what God does. And God wants to do that in your life as well. But you see, it only comes when we recognize our infirmities, our reproaches, our necessities, our persecutions, our distresses, all for Christ's sake. And so we turn to God and depend upon God and request that he just simply shows his power through us. And when we do that, maybe God then will allow us to reap in his harvest field. The thing we all desire, the reason I think why many of us don't have those things we desire spiritually, is because we aren't willing to endure the difficult path that God wants to lead us down in order that we might have the desire of our heart. It's not that God's not willing to bless us in that way with his power. It's that we're not willing to do what it takes. We tell God, no, I don't want this. And so in doing so, we sacrifice his power revealed. And so that's what we learn. A lesson learned from Paul's thorn in the flesh, a difficult path God caused him to travel down. We see that this had the power of God exalted through it. Turn back, if you would, in Acts chapter 21. We're going to follow Paul a little bit here this evening. Three of the 4 points all do with the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, look with me in verse number 10. We'll read down through verse number 14. Acts 21:10, and when he came unto us, was come unto us, this is talking about, I start in verse 11, verse number 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Here we see Paul traveling a difficult path that led to imprisonment in Jerusalem. Remember what happened? He went into the temple only because the leaders of the church there in Jerusalem thought he needed to do that to appease the Jews in the city. And as he's in the temple, there were some of the Jews from Asia where Paul had been preaching and winning souls to Christ and refuting the Jews, showing them that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and they couldn't argue with him, and they persecuted him everywhere he went, but there were, just happened to be some in the temple, and they assumed that he had brought some Gentiles into the temple, thereby defiling it. And so Paul finds himself arrested, thrown in jail. Now, this certainly would be a difficult path to travel because Paul was not guilty of the crimes he was accused of. He had not taken any Gentiles into the temple. Well, if you follow along, we're going to follow in certain areas, though not this. If you remember what happened in the chapters that follow, Paul has his enemies who take a vow that they're not going to eat or drink until they kill him. And so then they bribe the officials to let him come to the trial, and Paul got wind of it. And so instead of being released from the prison in Jerusalem, he's transferred to a different prison. Paul's not getting out of this imprisonment for quite some time. And it's going to take him all the way into Rome, his first Roman imprisonment. You see, this is a difficult path that God asked Paul to travel. He told them before it happened. Paul could have gotten out of it. Paul could have said, there ain't no way I'm going to Jerusalem. Now, how many of us would have said that if a prophet came down and through the word of God, and we knew it was God speaking, saying that whoever owns this girdle or this belt, they're going to get arrested as soon as they get to Jerusalem, and they're going to be thrown in prison. The Jews will turn them over to the Gentiles, who then have the authority to put to death. Paul understood what was being said because he at one time was the Jewish authorities. Paul had the option to say, I don't think that's happening. I think I'm heading for Spain. Or I'm going back home to mama at Tarsus. He could have said any number of things, but don't you love what Paul said? Paul said, I'm ready to even die if that's where the will of God takes me. I'm willing to suffer whatever it is God has for me. I think Paul saw the irony of the whole thing. Because when he was at Jerusalem, what was he doing to the Christians? Paul said, I'm not above this. This is humility speaking. But through all of this, imprisonment at Jerusalem and then transferring to other prisons from there, what we see is that the name of God is exalted. The name of God is now going to be exalted. Because as Paul went to the prison, let's follow along in chapter 21 in verse number 40. Because as the Jews accused him, there was a great ruckus, and they were going to kill him. The Roman authorities come in, mistake him for somebody else, but nevertheless they arrest him and are carrying him out and picking it up in the last verse of chapter 21. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make unto you. And he proceeded to preach unto them Christ. And when he got to the point of telling of Christ's call to the Gentiles, then they wouldn't listen any longer than that, but he shared his testimony with them. They heard the gospel message through the apostle Paul's testimony. And so we see the name of God being exalted there on those steps in Jerusalem. Well, look in verse 11 of chapter 23. And we're looking at the result of the fulfillment of this prophecy of Agabus that Paul could have said, there ain't no way that's happening. That's a difficult path. Those circumstances are too difficult for me. I didn't sign up for imprisonment. I signed up to preach the gospel and to go from city to city preaching the gospel of Christ. I didn't sign up to get thrown in jail. Paul could have said that. He could have walked away. He could have thrown in the towel, but he said, if that's the difficult path God wants me on, then God has a purpose for it, and I will walk that path. That path, the purpose, was that the name of God be exalted. And so he preached to the Jews in Jerusalem in chapter 23, verse number 11. Paul is given a vision, and the night following the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And then if you follow along to the last chapter of the book of Acts, we find that when Paul did get to prison in Rome, he summoned all the Jewish leadership and brought them into the house he was being held in under arrest, and They discussed a few things, but they set a later date, and they all came, and Paul preached to them Christ. Look over with me, if you would, in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse number 24. Acts 28:24. I'm sorry, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Paul didn't win everyone to Christ, but he gave them an opportunity, didn't he? And so here we find that the name of God is exalted again in Jerusalem. He foretold it back in the Jerusalem prison cell. And Paul at that time is thinking, how am I going to get to Rome? I don't understand, God. That's a difficult path, but I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one, let alone get to Rome and preach. He didn't know he was going to go on the Roman government's ticket. They were going to pay the way for him to get there, and he didn't realize he'd still be in prison at that time, but nevertheless, he just simply said, I'm going to walk down whatever road it is you have for me to travel, no matter how difficult it may be, because I just simply want to be obedient and in the will of God. And as a result, the name of God is exalted not only in Jerusalem, but in Rome. Well, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. This is all a result of the prophecy of Agabus saying to Paul that when you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. Paul gets to Jerusalem, he's arrested, he's thrown in jail after preaching to the Jews. He knows he's going to preach in Rome and share the gospel there. But look at chapter 24, chapter 24, verse 24. This is after he's been transferred now to Caesarea. Verse number 24 of chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Was that Felix's intent when he called for Paul? Whether it was or not, it's irrelevant because we know what Paul always did everywhere he went. He preached Christ, gave men an opportunity to accept the gospel. And so that's what Paul did here. The name of God is being exalted. Verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled under conviction. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, Felix isn't in that position much longer. He's replaced by the name of Festus. But nevertheless, there in Caesarea, Paul preached to Felix, the name of Christ again being exalted. But again, it doesn't stop there. This is all a result of the prophecy of Agabus as Paul was heading to Jerusalem when he was put in the place of decision where he can say, I'm going to follow through this difficult path that God has asked me to travel, or I'm going to turn my back on it. But he understood God had a purpose, and he said, even though this path may be difficult, I will travel it in order that the name of God be exalted. And so he preaches to Felix. Turn over to chapter 26. Chapter 26. Because we see that not only did he preach to Felix, he also preached to Felix's successor, a man by the name of Festus, and of course, Agrippa. He begins in the first chapter, the first verse of chapter 26, after they had gathered a crowd and they made it just a big hubbub and everybody's there and Paul just starts preaching. Now I think Festus and Agrippa think Paul's going to try to talk his way out of this imprisonment. They all understood by this time that Paul was arrested as an innocent man. That the only reason the Jews accused him of anything was because they were innocent, or excuse me, they were jealous of him, and they knew Paul was an innocent man, and they're going to say that at the end of the chapter. But nevertheless, they were giving him a hearing. And instead of Paul trying to talk his way out of it, he says, this difficult path is the one that God has called me to travel, and so I'm going to travel down it that the name of Christ may be exalted. And so he just simply preaches Christ. And as we get towards the end of this chapter, as Paul is preaching in verse 24, chapter 26 of Acts, verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and soberness. For the king, that's Agrippa, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So again, we see the name of Christ glorified and exalted because of the prophecy of Agabus. Way back several chapters before this, Paul again chose to walk that path that was difficult in order that the name of God would be exalted. And everywhere he went, he preached the gospel and God's name was exalted. Perhaps God is asking you to walk down a difficult path in order that the name of God would be exalted. Are you going to be like Paul and walk down that path and embrace what God has for you so that God's purpose can be fulfilled? Or are you going to say, no, this is too difficult for me. This isn't what I signed up for. I choose to go a different way. Well, you know, it doesn't end there. This prophecy of Agabus dealing with Paul's imprisonment. You see, Paul was transferred from Caesarea to Rome, but along the way on the ship, there was a problem, wasn't there? And they wound up on an island of Melita. The ship had been wrecked. Look with me in chapter 28. In chapter 28, verse number 1. Now the shipwreck has already happened. Chapter 27 ends with they all escape safe to land. When they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. The word spread. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And so we see a great change take place in the islanders of Melita. Now, how did all this happen? You see, when they first landed, because Paul was a prisoner, he was assigned one of the tasks with the other prisoners, I'm sure, of gathering the sticks to keep the fire going. And of course, we read about the serpent, and so the islanders, their first opinion of Paul was, this man's a murderer. Now, Paul wasn't a murderer, he was an innocent man. But nevertheless, because of that serpent, they jumped to conclusions. But God's name was glorified in the fact that that venom was powerless against the Apostle Paul. You see, this is a difficult path to travel. But Paul said, I'm going to take it because I want the name of God to be glorified, and so I'm willing to go wherever God asks me to go. And then, of course, we read about this fellow's father who was sick, and God used Paul to heal him. And so the word got out across the island of this man of God who was on their island, and they all came to have their needs met. And what do you think Paul did? Now, it doesn't tell us there, but when we get to heaven, we can ask Paul if my assumption is right. Because Paul did the same thing everywhere he went. We've seen that so far through the consequences of Paul being obedient to the prophecy of Agabus. He said, I'll walk that difficult path that includes imprisonment. Everywhere he went, he did nothing but exalt the name of God, preaching the gospel. And I believe he did the same thing here. And I think that's what explains the change in the islanders of Melita, is that they, some of them got saved, if not many of them. It's interesting to read of missionaries who go to I don't know what the right term would be, but go to the Pacific Islands, and the people are very backward and very superstitious. And if you win one of the chiefs to the Lord, you wind up winning almost the entire tribe. And I've told you before about John Gray, one of my roommates when I was in Bible college. I went to Papua New Guinea and for years had an almost fruitless ministry until he won one of the chiefs and they adopted John into the family, into the tribe. And all of a sudden John had an open door and they were all getting saved. An amazing story. This is the way it is. And that's how I picture what happened here on the island. Probably the majority of them after Paul left had trusted Christ. You see, because Paul was willing to walk this difficult path that Agabus prophesied of, the name of God was exalted everywhere Paul traveled. Everywhere Paul traveled. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You see, this wasn't the last difficult path God asked Paul to travel on. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have a familiar passage of scripture here, picking it up in verse number 6, reading down through verse number 8. For I am not ready to be offered. Notice this, the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also, that love is appearing. See, God asked Paul to walk another difficult path. He asked him to walk the path that included the thorn in his flesh. As a result of Paul being obedient and embracing that, we see that the power of God was exalted. God asked Paul to walk the difficult path of the Jerusalem imprisonment. Paul chose to walk that difficult path. And as a result, the name of God was exalted. Here we find that God asked Paul to walk another difficult path that was the Roman imprisonment. Now, he had been in prison in Rome as a result of the Jerusalem imprisonment, but he was released from that first Roman imprisonment. But this is the second imprisonment, and he's not going to get out of this one in this life. He's going to get out of this one by being transferred to heaven through the taking of his head. But as Paul's in the prison, Paul's not complaining. Paul's not down in the dumps. He's trying to cheer up Timothy, who's his son in the faith, and they were very close. And Timothy was perhaps a little discouraged from the things that we read in here. And Timothy was wondering if it was worth the fight, if it was worth the difficult path. And Paul's trying to encourage him and tell him, I don't regret a thing. That's what these verses are all about. I finished my course, and I don't regret a thing. Because of the path God's called me to travel, I've got a crown of righteousness awaiting me because I've been obedient. He says it's available to all them that love his appearing. Now, if you're saying no to the path God's called you to walk down, if you're saying no to the will of God, if you're saying, God, I don't want your power exalted in my life. God, I don't want your name exalted in my life. God, I don't want you exalted. We're not going to look forward to his coming. We're going to say, boy, I hope he doesn't come anytime soon because I'm not ready. But if we're ready like the Apostle Paul always was because he embraced the paths God asked him to walk down, whether they were pleasant, and he had many pleasant paths, but he also had many difficult paths. He embraced each path as he walked with God, and therefore he was able to say, here on the last path God asked him to take, which was his Roman imprisonment, he was able to say, I look forward to the end of this road. Because it's heaven. What we see here in this Roman imprisonment, this path that God had Paul walk down, is that the promises of God are exalted. We have a man who knows he's about to die, but we don't have a man trying to escape. We don't have a man trying to talk his way out of it. In fact, we read that he preached the gospel to Caesar, and he preached the gospel to those soldiers, and we have recorded for us some that had gotten saved as a result of his imprisonment here in Rome. He's not down in the dumps. He's not saying, woe is me. He's not calling for a pity party. He's praising God and he's trusting the promises of God. The promise that he had been faithful and therefore will be rewarded when he winds up in heaven. And the promises of God are special and precious to us when we're willing to walk a difficult path with God. What are some of the promises we can embrace? How about, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Even on those difficult paths, God hasn't left us. In fact, we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But God is still there, walking with us. You remember the poem that came out a number of years ago, The Footprints in the Sand. I think you're all familiar with it. God will carry us when we need carrying on those difficult paths. You see, sometimes as we walk those difficult paths, we just need to claim the promises of God and let those promises be exalted in our lives personally and to those around us. You see, Paul didn't keep this secret. Paul let Timothy know, in order that Timothy also might embrace those promises God has given us. Well, let's look at one more difficult path. This doesn't involve the Apostle Paul. Over in Hebrews chapter 11. Don't you love Hebrews chapter 11? Reading of these great saints of old who weren't willing to back down, these men and women who had a backbone to them. Boy, we need more Christians like these in our society today that is turning almost pagan, so antagonistic towards the things of God. We need some backbone in Christianity, and I love reading this chapter, but you know, it's not all good news as we would interpret good news. We read about those that conquered, those that had victory throughout the chapter. Then we come towards the end of the chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's pick it up in verse 35. It starts out okay, kind of. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Now, picture yourselves there, ladies. Your husband stands for Christ. The authorities arrest him and they behead him, or they electrocute him in the electric chair, or they inject lethal drugs, and he's dead. How do you feel about that? These ladies endured that. That's a difficult path all in itself. That doesn't appear to end well, but it does end well because God raises them to life again. But once you get past that colon in that verse, the tune changes. And we find that God doesn't always lead us off the difficult path. Sometimes that difficult path never gets better. And so we go on to read in verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, notice what it says there. Not accepting deliverance. That means deliverance was available. And they deliberately chose not to receive it. Kind of like Paul. On his way to Jerusalem, and Agabus comes along and says, look, if you go to Jerusalem, you will be arrested. God says so. And so you can count on it. And Paul was given a choice. These individuals referred to here are also given a choice. They say there's no way we're taking the deliverance because that means we'll have to turn our back on Christ. That means we won't walk the path God has asked us to walk, even though that path is a very difficult path. They were willing to endure the torture for the name of God. You see, what we have here is that the love of God is going to be exalted. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Let's look at the next verse because it doesn't end there with the torture. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Don't you love it when everybody's making fun of you? Of course not. None of us like it. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us. Whoever made that up's a liar, aren't they? Names do hurt. They had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. What that's all about is they would skin an animal and they would sew a person into it and they would send them off into the wilderness. And the carnivores in that wilderness, whether it be wolves or whether they be the lions, they would smell that fresh blood and they would attack and tear them to shreds. That's what that was all about. And if they happened to survive, their arms would be bound inside it. They couldn't feed themselves. They might be able to, if they could maneuver it, get some water and survive a few days, but death was imminent. This was just a terrible, cruel death penalty. That's a difficult path. It's not an easy way to die. And yet some were asked to walk that path as we move along, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And so we see that there were those that were called to walk down a difficult path But the way I see the love of God being exalted in this is God is telling us He was aware of each situation. And because He's aware, we know that He was taking care of each situation. And He was helping. And as I said a moment ago, He was walking with them in their time of difficulty. And so they weren't forsaken. Now I have to imagine that if we put ourselves in any of these situations, we would feel as if everyone abandoned us. And we would feel that perhaps even God had abandoned us. But again, we need to cling to that promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. And when, for the name of Christ, if we are called to walk a difficult path that ends in death, a difficult death, we can be assured that God doesn't take that lightly. We can be assured that God will have a special place for us in heaven as a result of that. You see, I believe when God calls an individual to walk down a difficult path like this, that God knows who we are. God knows our circumstances. God knows what we're dealing with. God knows what we're going through. He knows the ill treatment that we're receiving at the hands of others as they don't understand the things that we're going through. And God wraps His arms of love around us like He wouldn't wrap them around us if our life was a bed of roses, if we were walking a life of ease. God treats us in a very special way that we'll never understand and we'll never know unless we choose to walk that path. They were offered deliverance and they refused it because they wanted the love of God and to be faithful to Him to the end. You see, God doesn't always deliver us off the difficult path He asks us to travel down. But oftentimes He gives us a choice. He'll ask you, will you walk this path with me? Or will you turn from it and mark out your own path? You have to make that choice. Will you walk with God, even if it means a difficult path? Rest assured, God has a purpose for it if He would ask you to walk down it. I can't tell you what that purpose is. And you may never know what that purpose is. And that's where faith comes in. The just shall walk by faith, even on the difficult path. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for these many examples. We could turn to so many. Your pages are filled with individuals called to walk down a difficult path. And Father, these examples were all faithful to You to the end. Father, may we have the courage, the backbone, the dedication and commitment to You to be able to do that should You ask us to walk down this type of path as well. Well, thank You for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.